Welcome to Mighty Parenting, the podcast with real, raw, and relevant talk about raising teens and parenting young adults.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, a community where we help you raise teens and parent 20-somethings so they can become happy, successful, and emotionally healthy adults. I'm your host, Sandy Fowler, and I want to remind you to check out acree.com. They're an on-demand writing tutor for your child. They are harnessing the knowledge of a teacher and the power of AI to help create a space where your child can practice writing with instant feedback. It's proven to work. It's proven to show the same type of feedback that teachers give out. And it helps to get you, the parent, out of the homework loop. So not only does your child learn to write, they feel more independent and you get rid of that homework battle. So check it out at acree.com, E-C-R-E-E.com. Last week, we talked about New Year's resolutions and a different way of looking at them. Judy and I share our own little special worldview on New Year's resolutions. Well, this week is actually kind of an extension of that, because what I want to do is explore how we can use this time of year and this idea of New Year's resolutions to talk to our kids about a combination of their future and their present. We hear a lot about kids having trouble getting motivated, or how we can't get them to do homework, or we want to encourage them to get more involved in things, to do their best or challenge themselves. Well, I believe that our kids do their best when they're motivated intrinsically, when they have something they want, a goal they want to reach. I also think that sometimes they need help seeing that goal or figuring out how the things they do now relate to a goal that's further on down the line. Our guest today has written a book for teens where he addresses many different topics that can help our kids find their way and be successful, whatever that looks like to them. His name is Adam Norse, and he is the director of a nonprofit youth soccer club in downtown New York City, and he's the founder of Growing Potential, an organization providing workshops on maximizing your life. So Adam, welcome to Mighty Parenting.
Sandy, hi, thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I really think that our kids can, I was going to say struggle, but it's actually struggle by going with the flow. Like, I think they get caught up in current life and just going with the flow, like moving from moment to moment with whatever's happening around them, letting life happen to them. Mm-hmm. I also think that that can frustrate parents, because we'll look at it and we might see it as laziness. Certainly there's a recipe in there for them ending up playing a lot of video games or spending a lot of time on devices or getting caught up with just the latest fad. And I think this is also when we see our teens fade away a little bit. Like, they lose that spark they had when they were younger. I was wondering if, you know, you work with kids, and I was wondering if you've seen something like this with the kids that you interact with, where they just get caught up in the current of life and aren't really choosing their own direction.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, speaking to me, putting myself back in those shoes, if you ask any teenager, early teens or late teens, early 20s, if they want to be successful, they're all going to say yes. They want to be successful. And for me, where I found them getting sort of stuck in the headlights, kind of like a deer in the headlights, was what success actually looked like for them, or what it could look like for them. So I think that's where the overwhelm and this paralysis actually comes from. So yeah, I certainly see that for sure. And it can be overwhelming, especially with social media and peers, et cetera. So yeah, absolutely. I see that as an issue every day, Sandy. Absolutely.
And that's an interesting different view. We hear a lot on social media on this show. Mm-hmm. It's in many ways, I think it's the bane of many parents' existence, right? But that was a little different take on it. That idea that it can just kind of take over your life and take you away from going after your own dreams. that you, because you pick it up and you get caught up in what's happening there and you move forward from that point instead of going inside and going, well, what do I want? What's important to me? What do I need to do today to make that happen?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I work in youth sports, youth soccer in particular, and I work with all different skill levels, from beginners through to more advanced. And for a start, just looking at the sports alone, our young players, the teenagers especially, their schedules are jam-packed. Just their sports schedules. This past weekend, they've all been at tournaments. You know, it's non-stop. Now you add to that the academic side of it, going to school, homework. There's not a lot of time, really, to stop and think and reflect, which in itself, reflection for a teenager is not a normal, is a little alien to them. But we're not even giving them the space to stop and think and ask themselves, is this what I want to be doing? Is this the direction I want to be going? And often I see them either comparing or being pushed by a parent. So you know, I'm passionate about giving these teenagers time to think and just slow down for a little bit and using that as a starting point.
Yeah. We had a show aired this fall. I can't remember the date, and I'll add it into the show notes with a link to it, where we talked about this idea of, actually there are a couple that tie into that that I'll add in, but it's this idea of self-awareness and self-reflection. And yes, that's, I like the way you said that. That's not a normal state for our kids. That's not a typical teenager thing to do. And I think, Adam, having that in our minds as a parent goes, okay, so what can I do then, you know, to help them get some self-reflection, but also then after that, which, like I said, we got some advice on that. This is where I think your book really comes in, is that once they have a little bit, and it doesn't have to be a lot, you know, just be a little bit of, yeah, what do I like? What do I want to do in my life tomorrow, next week, next year, 10 years from now, whatever? And so, you know, what is that dream? And you talk about that in your book. You talk about basically helping kids reach their dreams, but the more practical side of it. So I want to start, well, at the beginning, which is, I think, was your chapter one, dreams versus goals. What do we need to teach our kids about the difference between dreams and goals?
Yeah, I think firstly, I think we just got to encourage them to dream. And that goes back to what we were just talking about, like giving them space to dream, because life, you know, life moves fast for them, whether it's sports or other extracurricular activities and school. And they're on this kind of conveyor belt where decisions are made for them. They go to this school or this college, etc. And they haven't had this time to stop and think. So I think that's really important. I mean, first, they give them space. And then give them permission to dream. You know, just let them know it's okay to dream big. What do you want to do? What do you like? What don't you like? Explore things. Rather than, I mean, I see a lot in youth sports. Parents, you know, unfortunately, living vicariously through the children, you know, to fulfill their soccer careers that might not have, or sport careers that might not have gone to where they want, or the career they might not have chosen. So give them permission to dream. Let them know, you know, anything's really possible. Anything. So giving them permission, firstly, is massively important. But I think it's also important to deliver that with a decent dose of reality. You know, we're talking teenagers here, so you can have good level conversations and say, well, anything's possible. However, it's going to require effort, focus, etc. So I think it's a fine balance between talking about dreams, anything's possible, but hey, you're going to have to roll your sleeves up a little bit here and get serious at times.
Well, first, I appreciate that you didn't just talk about them dreaming in terms of a job or a career, because when it comes to teens and 20-somethings, I think we get really caught up in that. And so do our kids. And, and they also feel pressure from society and school. And to be able to step back and go, you know, just what do you want in your life? And I know I've talked to some kids where the thing they really dream about isn't necessarily the job. So it's like, okay, find a job that you can reasonably enjoy that can allow you to do the thing you want to do. So if you're, you know, if your dream is to have a senior animal rescue, well, then you need to have a job where you're not going to have to travel. Or if your dream is to, you know, hit somehow through the political front, I don't necessarily mean being a politician, but heading into, you know, government, NGOs, whatever, you know, and you want to be able to impact through there, or you want to work for a service organization that helps with relief efforts, whatever. Now you need the opposite, right? I need a job that allows me to have flexible time, time off, time to travel, things like that. And obviously, yes, it can be through their career too. And then this concept of, you also said, brilliant, right? Have a conversation with them. Go, okay, yeah, what is your dream? And what do you think it will take to make that happen? And that's that dose of reality of going, oh, that I can totally see that like wide-eyed moment of, holy cow, I actually have to do something like now to make that happen. I can't just flow from day to day. But I wonder too about kids who go, I don't have a dream. What would you say to those kids?
Yeah, and I think that's probably, if you ask a 13, 14-year-old, some of them will know straight away. But I think the vast majority probably don't have a dream. And that goes back to, they've never dreamed. They've never sat down with a blank piece of paper, for example, because that's how I tend to dream and have my blue sky thinking, as I call it, and just, you know, just have these limitless thoughts. You know, what would I like to do? What I mean, it takes a bit of work to uncover what your dreams are. So I just say to them, sit down and, you know, what lights you up? What gets you excited? What do you look forward to doing? And then on the reverse, what don't you like doing? If you don't like sports, well, you know, you perhaps a career in the NFL or MLS isn't for you. So I think even if they don't have a dream in mind, they can start working out what they don't like. So it's kind of a reverse. But I think just going back to giving them permission and getting them to dig deep and spend some time is what they need to hear. Because often, they've not had this permission to dream.
In time, you talked about how busy they are, and then when we add family schedules on top of it, so I love this idea of, you know, maybe some of the family time is laying out on the beach and watching the clouds go by and kind of going, wow, you know, this is a great time to just sit back and daydream and think about what you like and what you don't like, and then digging into, well, okay, so you do like that. What do you like about it? Because I've noticed that too when I talk to kids, is they'll be like, oh, you know, I love painting. Well, what is it about painting that you love? Because then they go, oh, well, I need to be a painter, but I can't make a living as a painter and I'm going to die starving artist. It's like, well, wait a minute. What is it about that activity that you love? Oh, you're a soccer player. What is it about that you love? Because you might be able to pull pieces of that and pieces of something else you love and discover something brand new. And that goes to your idea of blue sky thinking, of helping them to take off the limits and just let their mind go and go, oh yeah, this is interesting and that's cool and that's really neat. No, I don't like that. that's got to go away. So they do this, and you know, we have this, okay, here are the dreams, here's what they want to do. Is that a goal? If they've said, this is my dream, is that a goal now?
Yeah, so I love everything you've just said, and there's quite a few things I just want to pull. I love the fact that you talked about lying on the beach and having these conversations, just using that sort of example, because with teenagers, I mean, my children are under 2.5 right now, so we're not there. But it's all about connection. It really is all, having these conversations, all about connection. And going back to my time as a teenager, if my dad had sat me down formally at the kitchen table and started asking me, I'd have probably felt a little bit weird or a little bit forced. So I love the fact that you're having these conversations away from the norm, you know, whether it's on a family vacation or you're in the car or you're walking, you're connecting on that level. And the second bit you talked about is just digging a little bit deeper and just pressing in. And I think that's the key role that for us parents of teenagers, where they can really help to facilitate and cultivate this culture where their children can maximize their potential. So, you talked about painting. Yeah, so what about painting? What do you like? So you're facilitating a conversation. You're extracting stuff from them. And I think the key difference is from parents and teachers that I've personally encountered in my life is no one likes to be told the answer. And I think pulling that answer out of them, saying, okay, so you like this part of painting, you like this part of art. Okay, so you facilitate and extract information, and then that moves you onto the goals that you mentioned. I mean, I think simply put, I mean, there's books been written on goal setting, and I certainly do not go into that depth within my book. But the reason that goals are so important, that it breaks down dreams into bite-size chunks for these teenagers, and it stops the overwhelm.
I love that. I'm writing it down. Goals break down, and I can't write that fast. Goals break down dreams into bite-sized chunks. And just also, so that is that piece of, like you said earlier, something has to happen. You know, you have to do something. You have to take action. And I know you talk about in your book, Grow Your Potential, you talk about action and patience, that we need to take action, but that the fact that we took action doesn't mean everything happens right now. And the reason that I was tying this into resolutions is because how you talk about habits. And I'm so on board with you there. One of my favorite self-help books, in fact, one of the first ones I ever read, actually made me go, oh, these things can be helpful. was on habits.
Yeah.
And I like this idea. And I think that with the new year, this gives us a chance to open this conversation with our kids to say, hey, have you made New Year's resolutions? Why or why not? And either way, okay, cool. Well, if they made resolutions, well, what's that going to do for you? Like, how is that going to help you get what you want out of life? By the way, what do you want out of your life? If they haven't made any, go, I get that. I know they could be kind of crazy and people give them up. And a lot of that's because of the way people think about it. So, I just think of them as a way to get where I want to go in life. And by the way, where do you want to go? Like, what do you want in your life? What do you want your life to be about? So habits can be the place that New Year's resolutions fit into that. Because really that's what we do, right? Is we're trying to change our habits. And I have a quote from the book that I really liked. Your life does not transform by changing a single thing. It comes down to habits. So what is it that you want, well, I was going to say our kids, but us and our kids to understand about habits?
Yeah, so I mean, I love maximizing my own potential. I love personal development, and I follow some of these industry leaders that are dealing with adults, and I just find that what they're ultimately doing is helping us as adults rewire habits that we learnt as children and as teenagers. So the whole idea behind the book, and specifically the chapter on habits, and why I'm trying to just get teenagers into good habits is if they can get into good habits as early as they can in their life, they're going to save themselves a lot of pain and frustration later on. So that's the first part. And I think the second part, I mean, I think the research says now it's often changing. I think the latest research is saying a habit becomes a habit. So subconsciously after 66 days. So I think if you break that down into sort of teenage talk, if you can tell them, going back to dreams, anything's possible, but you're going to have to put in the hard work, you're going to have to set goals. And if you put into place these habits, they're going to catapult you towards these dreams and this amazingly big life. So I think if you tell teenagers how important habits are and how much they're going to help them, then you're talking their language.
Have you seen that with any of the kids you work with? Have you seen a time maybe, or for maybe you or someone else you know, where habits have impacted their life, where you've noticed something, or they've told you a story about that?
Yeah, I mean, I spend my life working with young soccer players. And habits, one more big thing, especially with the early teenagers, is becoming independent. And what I mean by that is getting their backpack prepared for a practice or a game the night before. Because often parents are packing their gear and their uniforms and their lunch or whatever they need, which is fine and great. I understand the parents coming from a good place, but it's not actually giving accountability and ownership to the player. So I really encourage my players to start getting the uniform ready the night before, packing their bag, making sure the shoes are clean, the uniform's clean, etc. Because it not only gets them to take ownership, but it gets them thinking about, hey, tomorrow I've got a soccer practice, tomorrow I've got a soccer game. So this is one of the biggest habits I work on, which has got really nothing to do with soccer. If you think about it, it's got nothing to do with soccer, but it's all about this ownership, accountability, and mental preparation more than anything. So that's really one of the core things that I work on with my soccer players, which I think is totally applicable to a non-sporting environment, whether it's preparing your backpack or your book bag the night before for school, which is obviously a daily occurrence.
Right. And it was interesting. I never thought about the mental preparation. And I think that can really be an important aspect for any of us. And then particularly for those of us who have kids who maybe struggle with the shifts in activities and things like that. Kids who maybe who are neurodiverse or something. I think, and again, so in that case, yes, you might have to provide a little more guidance, but rather than doing for our kids, this would put them in that place of mental preparation and do the other things that you said, you know, provide accountability, help them take ownership. And I think also it's a little piece of self-confidence and control over our environment, which are things that we all need, things that hold us in good stead as we go forward, as well as starting to create that habit for other areas of their life. So if they learned now that, yes, every night before I go to bed, I need to pack my school backpack, I need to pack my sport double, I need to pack up my stuff for music practice, I need to pack up the things I'm taking because I'm going to my friend's house after school, or whatever it is, I think that habit, as you said, then carries over into the other areas of their life, because that's what I do as an adult, right? It's after dinner and I'm thinking, okay, well, what needs to be finished up today? But also, what do I need ready for tomorrow? And then that takes the chaos out of the morning.
Yeah, absolutely. And then as a parent and as a coach, cause I think they're both very, very similar, is once you become aware that this, you know, the teenager is packing his or her, whether school bag or soccer bag the night before, and they're doing this consistently, you can brag on them in front of the group or in front of friends. You know, hey, Adam prepares everything himself. He's prepared the night before. Everything's ready. He's focused. So you can, and that's going to make them feel so great in front of their peer group and their friends. You know, it gives them this accountability, this ownership, this sense of identity. So yeah, I think as a parent, what you can do is once you see them taking ownership for these habits, is celebrate them in front of the other people and their friends. And I think that's just going to encourage them to create other habits for sure.
So each of these things that we're talking about, these are all chapters in your book. And I love that because you wrote the book for teens, a chapter is only like 2 or 3 pages generally. So there's more info in there. And talking about habits made me think of the idea of one of the thoughts I had when I first started looking at your book was, what a cool family habit to create to talk about what we're doing, you know, because as parents, we should also still have dreams and goals in our lives. And so around the family dinner table or in the car, wherever your family finds those times to connect, you know, ours does a lot on camping trips and things. We have a harder time on the daily basis, but you know, we get the usually it's more of a Sunday meal, but at whatever time it is that your family connects or during a weekly family meeting, we do try to get those in too. That you can take these different topics and go through them. And it could even be kind of a neat family New Year's resolution to take a chapter of the book each week or a chapter of the book each day for, it's just over 52. What did you have, like 56 chapters? So I was like, wow, so that fits really well into the, you know, looking at it over the course of a year or looking at it over the course of 2 months and kind of creating that habit of checking in and going, what do I want my life to be like? And it's not that you necessarily have to be, you know, going after some huge goal, especially as a parent. If you're working or volunteering and you're taking care of your family and everything, this is not a time where a lot of people are going externally to, I have a big, huge other thing I want to do. But even within your daily life, what do I want my days to look like? And what am I doing to make that happen? And to have those conversations with your kids, you know, either have everyone read the chapter or read it out loud together, because again, it's only like 3 pages, and then have a discussion about it and find out what they think about it and where they're going, but also share with them what you're doing. Because here we go back again, mighty parents, modeling, you know, the more that we model for our kids that this is what we're doing, the more likely they are to do it as well. Or if that just sounds like, oh my gosh, that's way too much, that's way too huge, then maybe taking this idea of habits and going, okay, my New Year's resolution is I'm going to look at the habits in my life and, you know, I'm going to pick a habit or two and create good ones, things that move me toward the life I want to be living on a daily basis or in the future. And I like that idea of being able to pull the book and do that. And that reminds me that, you know, we're talking about all these great ideas and all these wonderful things and talking to our kids about doing the work. And we're talking about, yeah, it's a New Year's resolution. And we know a huge percentage of those fail, right? So what happens if our kids go, okay, here's my dream. This is how it's a goal. And I'm going to do these things to go for it. And then it doesn't happen. It doesn't work out for them. It doesn't, or they do get it. They get what they wanted and then find out, wow, I don't like this. I don't want that. What would you say to them at that point when they tried it all and it's like, wow, this just isn't quite what I wanted. Life's throwing me a curveball here.
Yeah. Well, I think if you get to that stage, where life's thrown them a curveball, which it will undoubtedly do at some stage in your life, I think if you get to that point and you're having those conversations with your teenager, there are so many wins and there are so many things that both parties have learned along the way that you talked about modeling. You can just replicate it for a start. Okay, this didn't work out. So for a parent and a coach, I think they're both, again, very similar. I often make the same analogy. Is there are so many teachable moments, so much gold dust there that you can talk about. Just the process of, you know, you've identified a dream. You've identified a goal. You've created habits. And you've even tried to set those in motion. So many positives there. Okay. So, yeah, and I think getting onto the point of if things don't work out for you, that's certainly a teachable moment. So through the connection and a big help and of empathy, you can say, okay, well, again, with the discovery questions, okay, well, why didn't it work out? Or, I mean, what do you think you might do differently or, you know, next time? So it's these open-ended questions that we're using as parents to, I mean, extract the information rather than just dump all our wisdom or knowledge at that point. So, and if things don't work out, I think that's life. That's life. So how do you respond? I think the key life skill is, okay, where do you go from here? What are you going to do next? What are you going to do better? And I think that's life, the peaks and troughs of life. And I think once you've modeled that and shown that, I think you've really set up your team for success and whatever that looks like for that individual.
Yeah. What did you call it in the book? Surfing or riding the waves of life? I think it was.
Yeah.
And I like that analogy. So being able to take that step back and show them that, hey, you know, look what you did accomplish. Even if this didn't turn out the way you wanted or the way you thought, you know, you gave this list. You identified a dream. You set a goal. You created great habits. And you also now know that when you set your mind to something, you can accomplish a lot.
Yeah.
So hey, you know, what did we learn here? Where can we go from here? And I think as you were talking about that, I kind of restated that because what happened is I was thinking it through and going, I think the mistake that we make as parents is our teen is upset. They're disappointed. They're angry. They're frustrated. They maybe feel a little lost. They might feel a little betrayed because they did put in the work and this isn't the way they envisioned it. They need a chance to grieve the loss of this dream, of this idea, of this goal. So while we can certainly have this conversation with them, I think the mistake that we make is we expect that if we sit down and say these things to them, that they're going to perk up and go, wow, you're right. That was great. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to give them some space to grieve and be having that conversation and that it might not be able to happen immediately. It might take a little time for them to move through the process, but to not give up on that, to help them see that really important piece of look what you did do. And I love that you took that viewpoint of it, of what you actually did accomplish, because while it wasn't what you thought, it was something. And that something is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're talking about people's dreams that are in their heart. And for some of these teenagers, they've had to dig deep for a dream. So it's going to be very sensitive to them. They're going to be very vulnerable. So there's absolutely needs to be a time to grieve. So yeah, that's a big part of it, Sandy, for sure. I mean, to grieve and to empathize with them and let them be upset. But at the same time, without forcing it, tell them, hey, you know, there's going to be other opportunities, and then celebrate the wins. And there's another chapter in the book I think it's important to touch upon. And there's a chapter is if they're going after dreams and they've set goals and intentions, everything we've just talked about, and it's, again, giving them permission to have the courage to make a change. And this is a very fine line because the teenagers that I've worked with and I've seen is they get into this and they're seeing success and they're seeing momentum. they're getting into a new school, or they're getting into this program, their parents are proud. And I know, because they've told me as their coach, that I don't like this. Or, yeah, it's not what I thought it was. But they've been working hard, and they've been pushing themselves, and they're doing all the right things. But they don't want to disappoint the parent who's been really supporting them. And they don't want to be seen as a quitter. And they don't want to be seen as someone that gives up. So this is a very fine line as a parent and as a coach to say to them, is this what you want to be doing? So I think regular check-ins to make sure their ladder is leaned against the tree they want to climb, to steal a Stephen Covey quote, is really important. So giving them permission to have the courage to make a change is really important.
And that is hugely important in two aspects. One, like you said, they got there, they put in the work, they tried it. It's okay to do something different. And I think that one, there's that piece of helping them go, you're not disappointing me, that's okay. It also, I think, opens the door to them being willing to then try something else, because it's not, oh, I'm going to be stuck in that forever. You know, if I try it, then I have to do it forever. Whereas now if you go, no, if you tried it and you found that it's not a good fit for you, if you have an obligation, you need to finish out and fulfill the obligation, which can happen in many ways. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, you know, if you haven't made a commitment to somebody else and it's not working for you, then you shift. And even if you did make a commitment, then you go, okay, how can I meet that commitment and shift? Because there are ways to do that and brainstorm together. I so appreciate you bringing that up. But I want to just go back. I'm just going to quick hit a few of the high points of what we talked about. Because we talked about dreams versus goals, habits. We wove in the idea a little bit of being intentional. And all of this is building resilience in our kids. And then this giving them permission to change. And there's another chapter, which we don't have time to talk about, that I really enjoyed too. And that was your chapter, Create, Don't Just Consume. So for anyone who grabs the book, check that out, because that is really, really awesome. But basically, you know, our kids need some space to think and permission to dream. And they need to see how they can take a dream then and turn it into a goal. And again, I love this quote, goals break down dreams into bite-sized chunks. And one of the things they can use to do that is habits, creating good habits that move you some step closer. It can be 10 steps, one step, a quarter of a step, but something that just moves you in the direction of what you want in your life. And then working through that process, if you get there and it's not what you want, accept that, acknowledge that. You said celebrate the wins on what you accomplished along the way and what you learned along the way, and then go, okay, you know, now where do I want to go from here? And then we as parents remembering to give them permission to have the courage to make a change. So Adam, this is great. And obviously I will, as always, put links to your book on our post, but what is your website for people who want to check that out?
Yeah, it's a growing -potential.com.
Great. Well, thank you, Adam, so much for the conversation. Loved that. And thank you, Mighty Parents, for joining us today. And remember, you are a mighty parent and you got this. So thanks for being here, and I'll see you next week. This episode of the Mighty Parenting Podcast is brought to you by Acree, the on-demand virtual writing tutor for students. Acree has a quick tip for parents today. While we don't want to write our essays for our kids or get overly involved, there is a step in which we can be supportive and helpful. We can be there to help them brainstorm admission essay topics and to share memories that strengthen the prompt that they chose. Our kids get nervous, they get worried, they get stuck, or sometimes they just remember things differently than we do. And we can start talking to them and telling stories and sharing memories, and then let them take it. We can step back at that point and let them write. You can learn more about Acree at acree.com, ecree.com, where you can get a free trial.